So when Donald Trump is talking about a bloodbath, it is violent rhetoric. What was it when Joe Biden said in 2020, what we can't let happen is let this primary become a negative bloodbath?
So I'm going to be really mindful and careful about Donald Trump, but if you read, because he is a candidate, we're talking about a 2024 election, you should read what he said in its context. So you got to read what he said in context.
Bloodbath is an ugly word. Trump uses it, what is it when Biden uses it?
No. Let's be very clear. You got to actually ask me the question in context of what it was said, right? And what it was said when he said that, right? In his remarks, in his speech, right? And so that's being disingenuous in your question.
I'm reading a direct quote from Joe Biden. What we can't let happen is let this primary become a negative bloodbath.
He was talking about a group of people. That's what he's talking about. What the president was talking about during the primary was not to allow it to be the words and the primary and that election to become negative. Two different things. They're not the same. And your question is disingenuous.
How is it disingenuous?
Look, I'm going to be really mindful here. I've got to be really careful. We have to denounce violent rhetoric. Which, wherever it comes
from. It's only okay when Biden uses it. It's only okay when Democrats use it. That's the only time that it's okay. That's Corinne Jean-Pierre trying to sit here and justify to Peter Ducey this whole thing about, well, it's the bloodbath, bloodbath. It's okay when Biden does it. I bet that they really were kicking themselves when he said it right after they freaked out because Trump said it, right? And by the way, Democrats have been saying this for forever. This isn't like new rhetoric. And if your feelings are hurt by that, do us all a favor. Just unalive yourself. I'm done. Welcome to the show. I'm really done. Welcome to the show. Dana Loesch with you, top of this first hour. You can listen all over the internet. You should know by now. You can find us on Channel 347 DirecTV as well as X, where we are streaming. It's a bloodbath until they say it's not a bloodbath anymore. And I guess now it's not one anymore because it's not convenient for them to, right? I mean, it's okay if they, I'm not going to sit here and do it. Oh, it's okay if they say it. It's just stop it. It's a border bloodbath. And then he sits here and says it, and then it's okay. And it makes it different. You know, I mean, when Joe Biden says it in 2020, we can't let this primary become a negative bloodbath. That's not violent rhetoric. It's only violent rhetoric because you're trying to ascribe a violent notion to people who are different from you ideologically as a way to shut them down. So this is one of the things we're watching today. We're also watching, we got three things that I think are driving the news cycle today. And one of the first ones that we're going to touch on is all of the latest with regards to Gaza, because I can see already the left using this as a way to further disengage from America's only ally in that region. Now, on Monday, there were 6 foreign aid workers and a Gazan driver who were killed in what was described as an Israeli precision attack. And Netanyahu came out later with a statement and said that it was a tragic event, his quote, in which our forces unintentionally harm non-combatants in the Gaza Strip. This happens in war. We're conducting a thorough inquiry, etc. We're doing everything that we can to prevent a recurrence. Now, the country has since launched an investigation. Now, I want to remind you, these aid workers, and it's sad whenever anything like this happens, these aid workers were killed in Gaza because Hamas has made Gaza into a war zone. And no matter how admirable it is that some people are trying to serve others in a war zone, it is still a war zone. And things like that happen in a war zone. This is why war is hell. And it's why it should be the last recourse. But unfortunately, some people want to do it the hard way. War is horrible. It's sometimes necessary, though, when nothing short of crushing defeat is going to end the conflict. Hamas chose for Gaza to be a war zone. Hamas did this. Just note this because I'm starting to see it bubble up. It was really going all day yesterday. Cable news, they're really pushing Biden. The United States said they were, quote, outraged. I've seen that word used a million times from officials in the Biden administration and elsewhere, saying that they're absolutely outraged because of what happened here. If Hamas released the hostages and stopped firing rockets tomorrow, Israel would end the response tomorrow. That's it. They've said they would. They always have every single time there's been a ceasefire. But Hamas doesn't want this. And we've talked about this over and over again. In fact, Hamas's leader is on video. And by the way, for anyone who wants receipts all day, please visit my Substack over at Chapter and Verse. And you can watch the audio or the video of Hamas's leader saying, yeah, we're going to do a ton more October 7th. We're going to have a bunch more October 7th. Oh, and by the way, blank you, United States. You know, and remember, Hamas is an Iranian proxy, an Iranian, literally the people around the streets calling the United States the big old devil again. I mean, what's the day that ends in Y? Israel has taken great care to limit the loss of life. And I think there's no person with more than one brain cell to rub together that would say that Israel is targeting innocents. Israel does not spend innocent lives as collateral damage like Hamas does. That's fact. I mean, Hamas, for the past 20 years, they've hid munitions in mosques. They've famously built their headquarters underneath the largest hospital in the Gaza Strip, Al-Shifa Hospital. Their headquarters, multiple levels beneath the Al-Shifa Hospital. And then, don't forget, they had another literal sub-headquarters underneath the United Nations headquarters in Gaza. And then it came out that UN workers were working with Hamas. They fired rockets from the rooftop of schools. This has been videotaped. They've cruelly used Gaza's population as living shields. And when accidents happen, because that's what happens since being elected to power in 2006, Hamas has turned Gaza, the strip they were given, into an absolute hellscape war zone. Hamas then, they turned their manufactured grief into Pollywood theater. And they have fabricated casualty numbers. And it's the group that's called Honest Reporters. And they fact check them. And they're not conservative. They're not really leftist. They're just people who want fact-based reporting. And they've said they've fabricated their numbers. They're acting like they've lost more Gazan residents than the Allies in Normandy. I don't know if you've compared the body count that they say they have. That's literally what they're arguing, guys. That they've lost more Gazans than the Allies lost in the invasion of Normandy. But they've done this all purposefully to engender pity from the international community, while also hiding its role as the sole antagonist. And they market themselves as this underdog, right? While they're digging up sewage pipes and water pipes to make bombs, and they're hoarding aid money. I mean, case in point, NBC had a great story on this. Gaza's plagued by poverty, but Hamas has no shortage of cash. Duh, where does it come from? Hamas has an investment portfolio and other assets worth $500 million. They have an annual military budget of as much over a quarter of $1 billion. Where are they getting all their money from? Meanwhile, Gaza's in poverty. And all of the leaders of Hamas, those fat, rich leaders, they live in Qatar. They don't live in Gaza, the hellscape they created. They don't live with the poor in Gaza. They live in Qatar. Democrats now are pushing Biden to abandon their ally, the only ally we have in that part of the world. I mean, if you look at the headlines, it's all over. Oh, my gosh, they're outraged. They want demanding ceasefire. They want a strong statement from Biden personally, demanding a ceasefire, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's already distancing himself for the Michigan vote and the Wisconsin vote. We're going to talk about that more later. But now you have the far left within the Democrat Party and the international community. They mask their hatred of Jewish people by playing this Mott and Bailey game with blatant anti-Semitism and criticism of Netanyahu's government. They interchange them out so that they can advance one and then claim that, oh, actually, we're arguing this. Here's another point about the aid workers. There's more outrage from the left, from the Democrats, over these innocent aid workers than there was over the 200-plus Israeli-American and other hostages taken on October 7th, or the over 1,000 innocents murdered by Hamas. And that's not hyperbole to state that. The reason is because the aid workers aren't Israelis. That's why. You have some British, American, you got an Australian. The reason why there seems to be more outrage from the international community is because they're not Israelis. That's why. Because, and it's sad That's not to say that the loss of lives is any less tragic, but what is tragic is the fact that nationality and faith determine the outrage from the international community. And you know that's true. I mean, few people outside of Israel are even talking about the hostages anymore, to say nothing of the Biden administration. When's the last time or any time you've heard him talk about the American hostages? No, the only way that this is going to end isn't for a ceasefire. It's for the total annihilation of Hamas. I talked about in my piece that I sent out this morning about how you get the government that you voted for. There's innocence in Gaza, but you get the government and the policies that you elect. And Hamas has only grown in popularity since winning the election. A piece from the Associated Press, quote, Palestinian, quote unquote, poll shows a rise in Hamas's support and close to 90% wanting U.S.-backed Abbas to resign. This was taken December 13th, 2023. This was after October 7th. It was Gazan media that did a survey of Gazans, and they showed an increase in support for Hamas, quote, which appears to have ticked up even in the devastated Gaza Strip after October 7th. Now, they're going after Abbas, who heads the Palestinian Authority. Abbas is also head of Fatah, the rival party of Hamas. Difference between Hamas and Fatah. Fatah said they would recognize Israel. Hamas has said they wouldn't. And that is where most of the people in West Bank and Gaza are. They don't want to recognize the sovereignty of their neighbor to the north. And that's what's driving all of this. That's it. You have these quasi-Jordanian colonists that are in Gaza. And so their popularity, and I have another survey on this for you. This was released. This was a separate survey done, Policy and Survey Research, and it was the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey Research. They get into it. Super overwhelming majority. This is why they suspended elections back in 2021. 15 years after the first elections in 26, in which Hamas took over, they ousted Fatah for control of Gaza. They were going to take over in West Bank as well. Hamas said it was a coup, but they postponed it because they knew Hamas was going to take over. They knew they were going to take over. Now, coming up, I want to discuss why are there so many citizens in Gaza that are helping Hamas hold hostages? We're going to discuss that. One of the other things that we've been talking about as well, going on with the war drums here, we've got, I was looking at the readout of Biden's call with President Xi Jinping of China, the commie leader of China, and they didn't discuss COVID-19. They didn't discuss TikTok. They did discuss a couple of other things. They didn't really touch on the EV push that China's really trying to slam on the rest of the world. That's part of, though, of Joe Biden's Green New Agenda, his new Green New Agenda, whatever it is. That's it. Now, as far as the border goes, Biden has let a known dangerous Somali terrorist in the country for a year before they arrested him. This is some of the stuff that's coming out at the southern border. We're going to talk more about this because now this is like what? I don't know how many terrorists now that were known that were allowed into the country and able to operate freely for a year before authorities realized their errors. And then they rearrested him. He was literally a confirmed member of Al-Shabaab. And he was in the country thanks to Biden's border policies. You know, the bloodbath at the southern border.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to zbiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's zbiotics.com/R-A-D-I-O, radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So having solved the problem of the budget and Ukraine funding and the National Red Flag Center that was created by this administration, and also having solved the problem of their party being entirely broke nationally and broke state by state, House Republicans have decided they're going to clear their plate and focus on renaming D.C.'s International Airport after former President Trump. That's their big push right now. Guy Reschlaffer, this Pennsylvania Republican, says he's the chief deputy whip. See, that goes to show you, I don't like it buddy-buddy with all these people. He introduced the bill Friday along with six co-sponsors. In a giant butt-kissing statement, he told Fox News Digital that as people fly through the airport, blah, 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 blah. Good for him. Good for him. I hope that really helps him out later. Meanwhile, the rest of us can watch our tax dollars go to Ukraine. There you go. Thanks, Guy. As we moved, apparently they created a six-legged mouse with genitals, without genitals. So basically a Congress critter, a six-legged rat without genitals. Apparently they think that it's going to actually help fight diseases. Come, I don't know. It's a British paper. Look, leave it to them to try to figure out some bright spot in this. A federal judge says that illegal immigrants, because we don't use the term migrants, as that's inaccurate, can sue the company that flew them to Martha's Vineyard. Are they going to sue only when DeSantis did it, or are they going to sue Joe Biden when he also put illegal immigrants on planes and flew them? Because he was actually the first to do it. I don't know if Democrats know that or not. So apparently now it's MSNN is talking about how physicians are making gun safety a part of routine visits. And then they go, but should they? And the answer is no. If a doctor asks me if I have a firearm in my home, that doctor is going to be humbled. So I'm going to say we got a lot more on the way, including the Republicans giving it up on mail-in voting. And McConnell says he's staying in the Senate to fight a movement that doesn't exist. Stick with us. I'd like to introduce you to my friends over at American Financing, a trusted family-owned mortgage company with a rich 25-year history. Now, American Financing specializes in helping homeowners like yourself save an average of $854 per month by leveraging their home's equity to eliminate high-interest debt. And with mortgage rates currently at historically low levels in the fives, there's never been a better time to explore your options. A quick 10-minute call to their team of salary-based mortgage consultants can reveal just how much you stand to save. And best of all, American Financing operates with transparency, never charging any upfront fees, and they may even offer the flexibility to delay two mortgage payments. Reach out today to American Financing at 866-574-2500 or visit their website at AmericanFinancing.net. Call 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
All they want to do is keep you poor and stupid. Some in the media are trying to tell you it's bad if your prices go down, causing a deflation spiral. If prices go down, are people really going to hold off on?
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Today, the Biden administration announced that it's going to pull back its plans to refill the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. You know, they drained that to try and bring gas prices down earlier. Well, they've been trying to fill it back up, but now it is way too expensive. So they say we hit $86 today on the futures market. They say it costs too much, so we're not going to do it. And now is the time of huge political, geopolitical risk out there. So I don't know. This summer could be a tough summer if you want to drive somewhere.
Yeah, apparently our emergency oil reserves are at the lowest level since 1983. And I remember when Joe Biden was out there telling everybody he was going to refill it at $80 a barrel. Now, what is it? It's over that.
Yeah, it's 86 now.
86 now. And what's Brent crude? What did they say? That's the lighter crude.
Yeah, I think so.
That is $90 a barrel. $90 a barrel. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour on this wonderful Wednesday. Yeah, he blew his chance. And I mean, it's a good thing that we have, you know, it's a good thing that everything is so stable everywhere else. That's a very good thing, right? And so now they're not going to, after they drained it, we're looking at $85 a barrel oil heading into the summer. And I mean, if I were Joe Biden, I would want to buy people off by opening the SPR again. That's me. I tried to do everything I could. Temporary, because, you know, you just kick the can down the road and deal with the consequences later. And people who vote for Biden, the hardcore people, tend to have really short memories. Just going to say. I was reading, and I don't have like an actual hardcore number on this because I read so many different accounts. It's kind of difficult to figure out which one's correct and which one isn't. But they were saying that if, you know, heaven forbid, everything were to go sideways, that we'd have like 18 days, essentially, of our resources. We'd have like 18 days oil. That's all we'd have. Kane says that he's not surprised by that. Or did you say you were shocked that it was that much? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be 18. I don't think it's 18 days. I think that's a lie. Now, I know, too, that, you know, ever since they started talking about this, this was last year they were talking about the promise of filling it up. Actually, even before then, the promise of filling it up. And they would add 3 million barrels here, but then they'd deplete 12, and then they'd add 3 and take out 20. And then it's been that game, and now we're down to like 360 million barrels. I don't think it's going to last 18 days.
I mean, the reason that they sold off all the other our reserves was because they wanted to lower prices before the last election. That's what they did. They were buying votes. And now think about it. I mean, this is kind of scary. That's scary. I was reading this. I'm looking at a couple of things here. So they canceled the plans to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. They're saying it's surging prices. I mean, heaven forbid if we were to get into conflict. Heaven forbid. This is just a disaster. And now this is what? The lowest, I said, since 83. Brent crude's at 90. It's at 82. It's looking to get at 85, 86. I don't even think we have enough reserves to drain it to help them with an election.
A little bit.
I don't know. Do we?
Tiny bit.
So oil's too expensive now.
Do you remember the graph they put out on social media when it went down like a penny?
I'm looking at
two
it.
Pennies.
Yeah, they're like look at your savings.
Yeah. Like if it goes, like all they have to do is move it down a couple pennies to get that sort of marketing push out there. So my guess is they're going to wait till about September this year to lower it because there's just not enough in the SPR to start now.
It's too expensive. We can't replenish it. But we're not going to do anything to drill or refine our own stuff. We're not going to do that. Do you remember when Trump moved, when he stocked up the SPR back in, this was before the election. It was like summer of 2020, summer or fall 2020. And that's when oil was like at a
zero.
Yeah, it was like at a record low price. And when he moved to, didn't Schumer say it was big oil bailout? I swear to you, it was like Schumer or Pelosi. One of them said that this was Trump's big oil bailout. And I'm like, wait, big oil? We're doing big oil now? He accused Trump of a big oil bailout ahead of the election. Hands to sky, right?
I remember.
Yeah. But, you know, again, we're gonna drain the SPR, and now it's too expensive to replenish it. Heaven forbid anything were to happen where we would have to rely on our reserves. That's just I don't understand it. I don't understand this administration. I want to go back to this is audio soundbite. 21. This was the flashback. This was from 2022. He said that he had a plan to drain it. Listen.
Today, I'm announcing a plan to refill the Strategic Petroleum Oil Reserve in the years ahead at a profit for taxpayers. The United States government is going to purchase oil to refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve.
Except you're not.
That's right. Yeah, you didn't do it. Except you didn't. You didn't actually refill it. It was not anything that you did. Now, this... speaking of gas and oil, I wanted to touch on audio sound by 18. So, Poot Booty Juice yesterday. Is this the one where he was... It's his name, Kane. Don't laugh at the man's name. That's racist or something, right? I mean, he's a white dude, but he's a DEI hire. So does that mean racist? I don't know. Right?
Right.
They're like, what's your qualification? Well, I like dudes. You're hired. Do you know anything about roads? Nope. Nope. Just, oh man, I can't say what I was going to say. He doesn't really even know much about filling potholes either. Secretary Mayor, Vice Admiral of the Canoe Fleet at Camp Wimpetonka, Poot Booty Juice, was bragging about charging an EV at his house. This is like the most bougie, annoying flex ever. Listen to this.
Today's electric grid can handle today's electric vehicles, but you're right. We can't run tomorrow's vehicles or, frankly, tomorrow's economy on today's grid or yesterday's grid. That's why it's got to be upgraded. Now, at the end of the day, if we can get that right as a country, that's going to leave us better off. There are more ways to move electricity than there are to move electric, than there are to move liquid fuel. You know, that's why my house in Michigan, I can fill our hybrid plug-in electric with electricity. Obviously, I can't do that with gas at my house. So in the long run, we're definitely better off, but absolutely agree that we're going to have to put a lot of work into upgrading that grid. And of course, I'm very excited about the good paying jobs for electrical workers that will come with that work that our administration is funding.
All right. So here's a piece in the Wall Street Journal that literally ran several days ago. The coming electricity crisis. AI data centers, climate rules are pushing the power grid to a breaking point. Now imagine pushing everybody into driving EVs on top of this. We can't handle it. They said that Georgia Power recently increased 17-fold its winter power demand forecast by 2031. Chip factories, data centers, they consume 100 times more power than a typical industrial business. They said that they're freaking out. All of these other companies, Midwest, Northeast, they're freaking out. They are concerned about all of these things that are creating more demands upon our grid, and yet our infrastructure cannot support it. Government, this is actually a sentence. This is literally a sentence in the Wall Street Journal. Government climate policies are contributing to a looming electric grid crisis. But Poo Booty Juice just said, and guys, don't argue with him. He is like the expert on stuff like roads, you know, and buses. I mean, South Bend, they had 15, 40, I don't know how many buses they have.
I think it was 40.
Was it 40 buses?
Maybe it was.
Yeah. I mean, and he's gay, so he knows everything about electricity and climate. Because once you decide you're gay, there's some kind of like magical manifestation that occurs in your medulla oblongata. It's a science, Kane. You laugh.
Is it?
And all of a sudden, you're like, I know things. Like about transportation and stuff. Oh. Yeah, and grid regulation. Or maybe you don't. Anyway, they got a gay guy. There's a trans post secretary. So they can be like, yep, check, we got the gays. So the gays can vote for us. They act like this is like marrying off your sons and daughters during the medieval period, you know. That's what it is. That's what it is. Well, let's see. We got to have all of these identity politic boxes in here. Do they have an intersexed furry? I don't think so. You better hurry up and fill that position, y'all. I don't even know what intersex. Isn't that a Martin Short movie?
Not sure.
Intersex, inter something?
Maybe.
The internet's going to correct me horrifically. I'm waiting for it. But they've been warning people about this. They're like, look, projections for U.S. electricity demand, it's doubled from just a year ago. And guess here's their top three in no particular order. AI data centers, federally subsidized manufacturing plants, and government driven EV transition. That is what's driving us to a grid catastrophe. This is the Wall Street Journal editorial board, ladies and gentlemen, you know, which is the most conservative entity ever in the United States of America. Les États-Unis. It's the most conservative entity ever. And you got Poot Booty Juice out there Kane goes, this is why I also don't believe that we have 18 days of us
here. Yeah. He's talking about an electric grid we're going to need. We have more demand for because of EVs. And how are they going to generate that electricity?
Why do we say they're electric vehicles when it's just an electric battery? It's a battery. It's a battery-powered vehicle.
Yeah. But it uses electricity for...
That's made in a coal-powered plant.
That's true. That's
over
why,
87% of it is coming from a coal-powered plant.
Yeah. So it all comes from our energy sector, which is why I believe that's why we don't have 18 days of reserve if things were to hit the fan.
What's
so
to stop me from like doing my own oil on my property if I discover I own my mineral rights? What if I discover that? That's part of my mineral rights.
Yeah.
Can I just like Jed Clampett it up there? Like, you know, why not? Right.
Why not?
I mean, yeah, it just seems like that could be just saying, I don't know. All right. So a couple of other things that, you know, Democrats aren't the only ones messing up. So Republicans are pushing. So here's the you have Republicans that are fighting about mail-in voting. NBC, every now and then, like when they sniff blood in the water, they're going to write a story, and they're not wrong about this. They say Republicans pushing to embrace mail-in voting encounter widespread resistance because Trump opposes it. His candidates oppose it. I don't know why in the world you would take, you know, one of the tools, arrows out of your quiver right before you go into battle. I don't know. And they interviewed the guy who is the head of the Erie County, Pennsylvania Republican Party. And they said that the Republican officials, they were going one by one to 11,000 people. Would you like to vote by mail? Out of the 11,000, they could only barely get 300 people. And they all said either it's not the right way to vote or Trump opposes it. And this was last year. And this is a battleground state in Pennsylvania. Here's the problem with this. Mail-in voting, yeah, not good. I get it. Like, again, soldier, you're out of town, you can't get back in, da, 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 da. I like the idea of having, you know, a day off, and I get it, believe me. But that's not my strategy. My strategy is, if you want to get rid of it, then be really good at it, because that's when Democrats want to get rid of it. That's why I'm like, Republicans should just go to the border and start registering people who come across to vote, right? Before they even change out of their wet clothes, register them to vote. Because then Democrats are going to shut that damn border down faster than you can blink. And I think Republicans, they need to exploit mail-in voting. And Republicans actually were pioneers with like the mailer stuff, like way back in the day. You know, like our parents and grandparents, they were like pioneers at this stuff. They need to be all over this. Where it's allowed, exploit it until Democrats got to get rid of it because you're outpacing them. The problem isn't that we don't have enough Republicans, even in battleground areas. The problem is that they don't turn out. So why not make it easier? Just saying, we're going to come back to this, but this is a dumb thing for the Republican Party to be fighting over. Some of the easiest things that they could do, and they need it. Goldcorp Precious Metals, they make it easy to navigate the very oversaturated gold IRA field. And it is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there, and it can seem confusing, and it can seem tough to find a precious metals company that you can trust. And wasteful government spending, printing more money. I mean, this is why we're in this inflation hellscape that we're in. So add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with GoldCo. They have a very unique quality with an education-first position, so they're going to give you a lot of thorough information in a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It'll explain the economy, explain how gold IRAs work. You can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver in this free 2024 gold kit. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. It's a very important part of your saving strategy, y'all, as you know. No pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee and take advantage of their unmatched customer service, zero complaint record. Protect your family's financial future and freedom and get started today at danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from GoldCo and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver only at danalikesgold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
But the Republicans were able to cut back on the fact that the only thing they couldn't defeat was seniors.
What? Did he have a problem with his prompter? Can I hear that one more time?
Not thinking the prompter's the issue.
Sure it is. Go ahead. Go ahead.
But the Republicans able to cut back on the fact that the only thing they couldn't defeat was the seniors.
Was there a war with the seniors? That I missed? You know, like some people, the Great Emu War in Australia that all Gen Z talks about? Google it. Was there a great war with the seniors that I missed? I don't know. What?
Who won?
Yeah, who won that? I don't know. Kane, you say old people aren't innocent. I'm thinking old people may have won. I think
it's very nuanced what I say. Not all old people.
Old people aren't innocent. Is what I just heard.
No, not all. Not all old people. There are some innocent old people.
Not all people are old. I know they're not. But you really shouldn't be like all old people are innocent. This is so mean. But I don't know. In this case, I think that maybe they won. Did they win? It's the Great Boomer War. I don't know. I don't know. This is interesting. All right. So coming up in our second hour, Biden has a headache, the Gaza headache. The Hill notes that they are absolutely Democrats in a civil war right now over this. He apparently had a meeting on the war in Gaza, and some Gazan doctor stood up and walked out. And he's now having to make overtures about this in Wisconsin. So we're going to talk about some of this as well. And apparently now Biden took the Houthis off the terror list, put them back on, now says that he may take them off again if they stop attacking ships in the Red Sea. We're going to also discuss this as well. Stick with us. A lot more in store. And culture. It's Kel-Tec, the Sub 2K. This is the Gen 3 version of the Sub 2K. And this is an awesome 9mm carbine. It folds in half, like literally just like folds right in half. You just optics and all, you just keep them all on there. And a simple twist and fold motion of the patent pending rotating forend. You can twist it in either direction. It just quickly and easily deploys it as well. But there's a lot of upgrades to this. Upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics. You got a lightened 5-pound pull. You also have improved accuracy for follow-up shots. Upgraded action, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open. Everything for improved manipulation. New chamber indicator. Family-owned, USA-made everything company right in Florida. Kel-Tec, made in America. And they make some really innovative stuff. You have to check out the latest version. It's shipping now. Shipping right now. The Gen 3 Sub 2K. Learn more about it at KeltecWeapons.com. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
You have not said whether or not you agree that frozen embryos are considered people. What is your position on that?
You know, who cares what my position is, Caitlin? What matters is what the parents and their doctor agree is whatever is right for them, how they define it. That's the only one whose opinion should matter. Not a judge, not a politician, not a governor from a different state. That's what the fundamental question is here.
Big Gretch isn't a doctor, she's saying. She's like, I just don't know if they're, you know, I'm not a doctor. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast on the Webernets, YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, X, Channel 347, DirecTV, everywhere. So if they're not considered people, are they dolphins? Well, I mean, I could be giving birth to a dolphin. We'll wait and see when the baby's born. Nobody says that. You know why? Because it's stupid. Why do people want to be purposefully dumb about this? I mean, are they considered people? Well, I just don't know. They could be elephants, you know? I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Caitlin. They could be elephants or giraffes. That would be a very difficult birth, though, if that actually came to fruition. You know, I'm not a doctor. I know nothing about women's bodies, Caitlin, including my own. I have no idea what goes up there. I mean, what happens? Nobody knows. Nobody has any idea, right? It's just a mystery. Maybe one day we'll have the science to figure that out, huh? That's literally Big Gretch. That's what she's saying right now. That's how dumb that sounds. That's what you sound like when you say, well, I don't know, I'm not a doctor. Kane goes, well, she's got something in common with Jill Biden. Jill Biden's also not a doctor. It's true. That's so dumb. I just want to... Why do people say that? I mean, we know science, right? We know basic science. We understand DNA, right? We understand genetics. We know how this stuff works. There's literally nothing else it could be. you know, unless you're a member of ISIS or Al Qaeda. I mean, you know, I got some livestock issues. I mean, there's literally nothing else that it could be. It's a person. Well, I'm not a doctor. And I'm also not really a governor. I'm pretending. Oh, man. Democrats. All right. So Biden is threatening to redesignate the Houthis as terrorists again. Yeah. Here's the Bloomberg article from this morning, maybe 2 hours ago. U.S. may revoke Houthi terrorist label if they stop Red Sea ship attacks. Washington is seeking diplomatic off-ramps, says Yemen envoy. Houthis have been attacking ships in the Red Sea since November. So he removed them from the terror list, and then they started attacking ships. Remember, they began attacking the Red Sea ships after Biden took them off the terror list. And then Biden put them, he threatened to put them back on the list. They kept attacking other ships, so he put them on the list, and then they kept attacking. So now he's saying, well, maybe I'll take you off the list again if you stop attacking ships. Kane, what do you think? You think that's going to do it? Second time, third time's a charm?
Sure.
Oh, wow. We don't want to be called terrorists by the government who called us terrorists and stopped calling us terrorists and call us terrorists again. And now they say they're going to stop calling us terrorists. They've been attacking ships through this whole thing, and they haven't stopped. They want a diplomatic off-ramp. I've got a diplomatic off-ramp idea. So I can never, you can't know, I can't ever, I could never be an elected office.
How does this project strength in any way? Like, in any way, does this project strength?
It looks dumb. It makes our government look so goofy. I mean, I have February 2021, Biden administration to remove Yemen's Houthi rebels from terrorism list and reversal of Trump-era policy. And then this was in January of this year. Biden administration redesignates Houthis as specially designated global terrorist. Now, U.S. may revoke the Houthi terror label. If you guys stop bullying these ships, we'll stop calling you terrorists again. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think it's going to work at all. I actually think you're going to see more from the Houthis because of that strike on that took out that Iranian, those Iranian Hezbollah supporting generals. Which, by the way, I thought that was very interesting. I thought that was kind of a checkmate move that Israel did. Because think about it like this. So you had him pulling the story up. So you have this strike. Let me pull this. Bear with me here. I'm going to pull this up real quick. Because this was what was over the weekend. They, and Iran was very, very mad about it. They had this Israeli strike on Iran's consulate in Syria. It killed two generals and five other terror backers, and the religious leader in Iran was like, oh, we're gonna really get you for this. They're not gonna do anything. They're gonna have to swallow the poison. And the reason is because Iran is now backed into a corner. What are they gonna do? I don't know if you've been, I was looking at some of this stuff on social media on X, because the terrorists, I mean, Trump couldn't be on Twitter, but you can have the Ayatollah on Twitter. You know, the United States is the big devil. Roar! And then you have all of these little terror leaders that are on there. You have Hezbollah members and some Houthis, and you know, you got some Hamas members up there. It's, you know, all different kinds, all different flavors of terrorists. And some of the terror leaders, some of the proxy groups that Iran has been using to go after the United States and go after Israel, you know, they use those so no one can engage in an all-out war with Iran, because they get a little skittish about that. They're not at that point. They want to be able to they freely pursue uranium interests, right? Enriching uranium and going after their nuke agenda. And so this strike, it killed these top commanders. Iran, what are they going to do? I mean, they can't really do anything except try to get the proxy groups to go and carry out more attacks. But like I said, on X and some of these other places, the leaders of these proxy groups were like, wait a minute, what are we getting out of this? They're asking us. What are we getting out of this again? There's a little bit of a ending of a honeymoon there, the long honeymoon between Iran and these proxy groups. And so what is Iran going to do if they start actually themselves firing rockets in return at Israel instead of using proxy groups? Israel is going to have a wide open door to actually fire inside of Iran. That includes their nuclear program going after those facilities. That's the last thing Iran wants. So they can't do anything. They're stuck in a corner. That was kind of a checkmate move, I thought. So what are they? They're not going to do a single damn thing. So when it comes to diplomatic, I don't know. I just feel like, you know, the diplomatic thing to do would be, if we see a Houthi in the Red Sea, we're going to turn the sea red with you. That's what's going to happen. We're going to make it honest by name. And we're going to dye the sea red with your stinking blood. That's what we're going to do, with a smile. That's my diplomatic off ramp right there. There isn't, I mean, at some point, you know, you got to realize diplomacy doesn't work with barbarians, right? And I don't mean to insult the original barbarians who had more honor than these people. I mean, like, you can't negotiate with animals at some point, right? I remember one time, my dog Louie, he got a hold of a squirrel, killed it, was shaking it. And I was like, Louie, give me the squirrel. We're not going to tear this apart in the yard. This is gross. It's a tree rat. And it's just stopped. This is, you know, he was fawn colored. So he thought he was a Frenchie, but he thought he was a lion. I don't know. He would not. I tried to reason with this dog. I looked at him and I was like, Louie, let's be diplomatic here about this situation, okay? Hand me the squirrel. Give it to me. Give me the squirrel. And no matter how diplomatic I tried to be with this dog, he didn't listen. I mean, I literally had to like wrestle him like a pig and pry, like literally hold him, and had to have one of my kids grab it out of his mouth. He was not going to let it go. He's going to sling it everywhere, and it was getting nasty. This is, you know, I say this because that's kind of how you have to deal with these dogs, with, you know, my dog, actually, it's an insult to dogs. These animals, that's how you have to deal with the Houthis and the Hamases and the Hezbollahs. They're not interested in diplomacy. Diplomacy doesn't work on their tiny little animal brains. It doesn't work. But fear does. Fear's great. Fear of losing honor, the fear of losing power, the fear of just losing. Well, that's a great motivator. That's a great diplomatic tool. And one that works very well. You want them to be so afraid that the little Houthis and the little Hamases and the little Hezbollahs are like, maybe we should think twice before going into this line of work. Didn't work out so well for our dads and uncles and our uncle dads. Didn't really work out so well. So I think that was a good move from Israel. There's nothing that Iran's going to do. What is Iran going to do? Use more proxies? And then Biden can sit here and dither. Well, I guess we'll rename you terrorist again. Oh, they were so broken up about that last time. They just went out and consoled themselves by bombing some ships out in the Red Sea. Oh, they were so upset. No, that's not what you do. I think you just need to say, if you're attacking our ships or ships that are within our interest, we're going to snuff you off the face of the earth. That's what's going to happen. But no, as Kane notes, he probably wants to release even more money to Iran. Release more funds, which, by the way, was absolutely freezing that money was part of those sanctions. So they actually did roll back some of the sanctions for that. That's a true thing. That's a mess. This is just a mess. He's just making such a mess of this whole entire area. I don't know who's worse, him or Carter at this point. Well, Carter created it, really. But so did you guys hear? More and more gangs coming up from Central and South America entering the U.S. They're targeting luxury homes. And actually condos and flats, apartments, all of it, like luxury properties. Criminal gangs from Central and South America, they're taking advantage, according to the New York Post, of lax U.S. immigration laws. They're setting up in cities across the nation. In Michigan, they're dealing with it. They're dealing with it everywhere, all across the United States. Thieves have been identified as nationals from Venezuela, Chile, Bolivia, Colombia, Peru, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Honduras. And they survey home for days. They figure out the best way to break in. And they purchase fake IDs. They go after it. They go after everything. And they want houses where nobody's home. And they usually said they come in through windows in the back. And they're targeting these houses. See, I feel like everybody needs those signs I was talking about, right? You trespass on my property, you exit in a body bag. In pieces. Same. So all of this, it's just getting worse. They're targeting houses. If they're not squatting, they're going on, what do they call them? Burglary vacations? Is that what they were calling them?
Really?
Yeah, like they literally come up, they go on, you know, they come up and they come up here for a little while and they steal and they go back. For real. For real. The only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country for 10 years. They've been offering not just the best customer service, but also affordable coverage. And they have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. And the other thing, too, is that there's no interruption in service. I mean, when I travel internationally, I never have an issue with my service ever at all. I mean, I literally did, like a couple of years ago, I was out in the middle of the ocean somewhere on a boat, and I pulled over at this one key. We were down in the Exumas, and I literally called into my own show. Never had any issue, but that's Patriot Mobile. You have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team to help make switching easy for you. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And when you switch, you're putting money and momentum behind the things you vote to protect every election. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So an illegal immigrant, Chinese, arrested for sneaking onto a Marine base. And this was a Marine Corps base in California. And apparently, Border Protection said that they refused to leave initially. It took place on March 29th. They said that one sector chief patrol agents confirmed that that other border agents were called out to Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms after a Chinese national entered the facility, had no authorization, was in the country illegally, confirmed, and then apparently tried to enter the base, get into the interior. They were transported to a nearby station for further processing. And this is like several instances of Chinese nationals trying to infiltrate U.S. military bases. Two took photos at a Navy base in Florida in 2020, according to Wall Street Journal. So there's been a problem with this. And in fact, as Bill Malugin notes, fiscal year 2021, Chinese nationals who entered illegally, 342, that has gone up by an unbelievable amount. Now it's over 22,000 just so far. It is a 6,300% increase since fiscal year 21 in illegal Chinese immigrants coming in, Chinese nationals coming into the country. So, most gender confused kids grow out of it, according to a 15-year landmark study. As critics, it's a phase. It's a phase. And all of these Munchausen by proxy parents who are trying to like get attention from putting their kids through this need to knock it the hell off. They said 11% of it, and that's what it is. 11% of adolescents reported being unhappy with their gender. 19% who reported it as kids no longer expressed it as adults. But see, then adults decide, oh, this is our new cause and we're going to take it upon ourselves. And then their kids can't get out of it. Just stop, parents. Stop. Misinformation is making us fear our food, says The Hill. I don't doubt that at all. They said things about toxins and everything else and blue light, tap water, all this stuff, microplastics. You're not supposed to really drink anything anymore or eat anything. Everything's toxic. But now more and more people, according to a study, are terrified of their food. This is all by design. It's to make you all feel anxious and freaked out, and it just is what it is. A Wyoming man is accused of capturing a live wolf before taping its mouth shut and parading it around his local bar before taking it out back and killing it. Now, I'm all for ethical harvesting and culling herd, because wolves need to be culled like everything else to keep the ecosystem in balance. Doing this, though, makes me want to do that to this guy. It makes me want to tape his mouth shut and go and parade his naked ass around my bar before taking him out back. I don't have a bar, but maybe I need to get one. Because that's just cruel. 42-year-old Cody Roberts tormented the wolf, and then he brought it to the back of the bar and then killed it. And it's a predator zone in Wyoming for wolves. I get it. It's illegal to hunt and kill them. But this stuff, that's stupid. You're just a doucher, dude. That's all it is. LA's luxury home sales plummeted to 70% because the mansion tax kicked in. And millionaires are choosing to live outside of the city in Beverly Hills, Malibu, and Santa Monica. Imagine considering that being more affordable, according to new statistics coming in. And Planters is looking to hire a crew to travel around in the Nutmobile.
What?
I think you should be nuts to be in it. Stick with us. Our partners help bring you free radio. ReadyWise, they want to make sure that you are prepared for anything that either nature, life, politicians, heaven forbid, anything else throws at you. It's important to be prepared. And ReadyWise wants to help. You can use code DANA20 right now to save 20% on any regularly priced item. This is an American company providing high quality, premium food, survival food. And it's packed all at their state-of-the-art plant right here in the U.S. So you're supporting American jobs and you can trust where your food is coming from and where it's packed at. And so this is great if there are sudden storms, power outages, or even if you want to go hiking or on a hunting trip. If there's supply chain disruption, you have peace of mind knowing you're not going to have to worry about feeding your family a nutritious meal. They have a one-month supply two-bucket bundle right now that includes 36 pouches of premium survival food, 2,000-plus calories, 50-plus grams of protein per day, freeze-dried, dehydrated, high-quality U.S. ingredients, no refrigeration required, and just add water, 25-year shelf life. They make it easy. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code DANA20 and save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys started draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try and help with the Putin price hike a few years ago. Said you were going to refill it, but now it doesn't seem like that's happening. Why?
Well, I believe the Department of Energy is responsible for that particular component, is refilling that. So I would refer you to the Department of Energy. I know there were certain components to that, and how they were going to move forward in refilling it. They would have more specifics on that for you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Department of Energy that's responsible for that. Well, then why was Biden curious? I don't know. That doesn't make any sense. So he's canceled this refill, as we told you about earlier, this refill of the SPR, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and because they said oil is now too expensive. We're screwed. How much do you think gas is going to get this summer, Kane? Mm. If you had a guess, you know, for the people.
I would say it's going to get close to four. Well, here in Texas, it's actually cheaper than most states. So it depends on where you live. So if you're West Coast, I'm going to think seven-ish.
I can't even wrap my mind around that.
A gallon.
That's
and
crazy.
Here in Texas, probably close to
That's
four.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What? Oh, my gosh, you guys. Good job. Good job, Biden. Everything's so much more affordable. Inflation doesn't exist. Gas is plentiful.
Yeah. And then in the peak of the summer, when everyone is actually driving around and doing their gas mm-hmm. purchasing, they know they're going to start seeing and feeling that negativity. So they're going to try and deplete even more out of the SPR to get those prices down just a few cents.
And to kind of buy people
Yeah,
off.
So they have something to market as they roll into the November elections.
Yeah. I mean, and they're to buy people off, really, ultimately. That's what this is. And it's also a way to shove people into EVs, which I saw just another headline. The EV market shares plummeted first quarter. Yep. Consumers are souring on this. This is according to the Associated Press. Sales for new vehicles, they said sales for new vehicles grew 5% in the first 3 months of the year, but EV sales grew only 2.7% because consumers are choosing, you know, practical vehicles due to cost and product concerns. The average sales price declined 3.6% year to year to $44,186 in March. $44,000. Oh my gosh, then they're so ugly. Can I just be real? Like, I have two friends out of my friends. I only have two that have EVs. And one of them, they bought it kind of because they were it's like their experimental car because they can. And they, you know, and then one of them bought it because she doesn't really go anywhere except around town and to get her kids from school and all that stuff, right? And she didn't want like a big giant car. And they're both ugly as sin. They are ugly. They are so ugly. One of them is mint colored, like a pastel mint. That is nasty. I don't even know what kind it is. They don't even look remarkable to me. You know what I mean? And I get that some of them go, I like if it goes fast, but I don't know. I like the iconic Americana. And I want to actually fear for my ever-loving life when the door closes. I want, every time I close the door, I want there to be a risk of me losing a limb because the door would shut on it. and it's a, I want a giant heavy door. I want a heavy door that I can't be holding all my groceries in one hand and actually one hand it. I want two hands on the door. Is that too much to ask? Right? I'm a little woman. In my mind, I am huge. In my mind, I'm like 200 pounds, 6'7", you know, I'm like, you know, huge in my head. In reality, I'm a 120 and I'm like 5'6¾", right? 5'7". I'll lie and be like 5'7" when I go in for my well visits and they're looking at me like, really? I'm like, I swear to you, I am. I'm twee. And I want a giant car. I want a big car. I don't want to sit low to the road. I want to sit up and I want everyone to be terrified of me, particularly the men, because everybody in Texas drives a big car. And I just feel like everyone stays away from you, especially if you're a woman in a giant car. And the men particularly, like, they will get away from you. They're like, oh my gosh, let the woman go. Like, we don't even care if we have right away. I don't even care if that's the closest parking spot. We're terrified of this person. She can't drive probably and is in a huge car that's heavy and goes fast. Let her go for the love. I like that. It's just polite. You know, armed society is a polite society and a large car society is also a polite society. I just am not. And I don't like the fact that they don't make any noise. There's no satisfaction when I get in. That's the other thing. Some of them play. I had a rental car a loaner because mine was in the shop and they gave me an EV and I died. I refuse to drive. I am a brat. I will not drive it. I had to because I had to go to my allergist appointment. My God. And I wanted one of my kids to take me, like an old lady, you know, because I didn't want to drive this stupid car, but they had lives, damn kids. And so I had to drive this godforsaken EV, you know, whatever it is, this horrible thing to the allergist's office. And I get in and there was no satisfaction, right? Like if I get in my car and I start it, it goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not going to tell you what kind of car I have, but yeah. If you didn't know that it was a woman driving it, you'd probably think I was overcompensating for something. And I get in it and I shut the little dinky door and it played like a little song. I was like, what in the fruitcake business is this? Like, what in the world? Why is it? It was like, I can't even do it. It played a little song and it has a giant iPad in the middle of it. A giant screen, which totally isn't distracting you at all when you're driving, you know, a giant flipping flat screen in the middle. And there was just so much wasted space. I was immediately picking it apart and I didn't even like the color of the interior. It was like eggshell white and that just killed my soul. And it was all white. Like the car was white. The inside was white and there was like gray tones to it. And it made me feel like it was an old timey Joanna. And I love Joanna Gaines, but, you know, I am not a white on white type of decor person. I hate modernity. And I was in hell. My soul rotted every second I was in this vehicle until I got to my allergist's office and it was off and it was bright in there. It was bright. I don't want it bright in my car. It's horrible. I'm like a bat. I want to be in the darkness. It was horrible. And Kane, it like plays little songs whenever you would do anything. And then when you turned it off, I'm like, well, hell, is this thing off? Is this car off? I didn't even know. Like, I was getting ready to just, like, go into my doctor's office, and I didn't even know if the car was going or not. I need something. If I can't hear it, I need it to be like, it is off now. You play a song for me, but you can't do that.
Yes, ma'am. You turn the car off. Ding, ding.
I don't even get the luxury of that. You know what I mean? Why do I need all of that stuff in the middle of my thing? I don't need all those things. I don't need it. I don't need to be able to watch a movie while I'm driving a car. What in the world is that? What is that? Why do people do this? Have you ever been in one of those things? Yeah. Where it's like it's stupid. It is just because you can doesn't mean you should. And it also feels as though it's like a caricature of, it feels like a Jacques Tati car. If you're familiar at all with the filmmaker Jacques Tati, French filmmaker who used to make fun of modernity in all of his films. And Playtime is one of the funniest movies I have ever seen in my life. It's my youngest son's favorite film ever. And he makes fun of modernity and all of this stuff throughout the whole, I mean, his films are hysterical. It was like in the 60s. And they don't say a single word in this film. It's just a riot. You watch it and at first you're like, what is really? And then you get into it and it's one of the funniest things I've ever watched. And I felt like it was designed, this inside of this car, it was designed by Jacques Tati. I really, because it was a joke. I know I'm going on way too long about this car, but I was really disturbed, guys, down to my core. I was shook. I was literally shook. I don't like it. I don't like, and I don't like it that I can't hear them coming. I don't want to be walking down the road and stop and turn around and there's a car. You know, I just don't. It's like creeping up on you. It shouldn't be like a predator. Although, I would make an EV called a predator, and it would be specifically, I shouldn't say this out loud, because I don't like bicyclists. All right, I don't. How do we get off of this? Okay, anyway, the EV things, they're doing badly. That's all you need to know. It's not doing good. And this idea of forcing everybody to do it, that's not going to make you like it more. It makes me like it less, you know? I feel like I hate them more because he's mandating it. Just stop. Just don't. There's no need to do this. No need to do this. So this is with the EVs, the SPR. They're having a lot of problems in the Democrat Party. I mean, we have issues in the Republican Party. But right now, the issues that they are having in the Democrat Party, particularly as it relates to Gaza, I was looking at, let me touch on this. So in Wisconsin, he's facing more protests. Thousands of voters in Wisconsin are planning to vote uncommitted. Oh. They're uncommitted. And they're doing this in all the remaining primary states. They're all uncommitted. They want to get this movement going in every single one of these states. Biden won the state over Trump by 0.63%. It was a very close margin. And so all of this stuff with Gaza, do uncommitted voters really think that they're going to get what they want more so with Trump than Biden? That doesn't make sense, does it? No, it doesn't. So they had this one group called Listen to Wisconsin. They were convincing 20,000 Democrat voters to cast their primary ballot for an alternative choice. And it's interesting because 20,000 votes was the margin by which that 0.63%, that was the margin that Biden beat Trump in Wisconsin back in 2020, 4 years ago. Huh. The guy who heads up Listen to Wisconsin is a Gazan. He's from Gaza. I don't believe in the term Palestinian, nor do I believe in the term Palestinian American, because that term doesn't exist. There's no land. It's not known in anywhere in antiquity. I'll say this every time. There's thousands of years of antiquity that do not support this. It doesn't exist. It's a made-up term. Just say that you're Jordanian if you got to try to hyphenate yourself. But you're not like a special ethnicity. Gaza was colonized by people when Israel willingly gave up the land in 05. That's the truth of it. And so anyway, this dude's been spearheading this whole Listen to Wisconsin thing. And they think that they're going to try to cost Biden the state. But it doesn't make any sense, though, because and I'm not arguing for Biden. I just like want to point to the illogic of the left. I mean, these are people who are they are so angry at Biden over Gaza, but yet they would be willing to let the state go to someone that would actually be even more against their interests in Gaza than Biden. Go ahead and do that. That's great. I love that line of thinking. I think they just need to keep going with it. Yeah, why stop at 20,000? Go for 30. Field of Greens is not a supplement. In fact, Field of Greens is a great, it's actually food. It's literal food. It's 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. And it works fast. And these are antioxidants, fiber, prebiotics. Everything is selected. Medically selected for specific health benefit by actual doctors. And they want to make sure that your lungs, your kidneys, your metabolism, everything is supported, your digestion. When your body is getting everything that it needs for a healthy diet, you notice the difference. The problem is that not everyone actually eats enough of what they're supposed to eat during the day. And produce is expensive, let's be real. So Field of Greens, what you do is take one scoop mixed with 8 ounces of water, milk, fruit juice, preferably a healthy beverage. So I would like Nix fruit juice, actually. It says fruit juice here, but I wouldn't put fruit juice in it because there's so much sugar in it. I would do like sparkling water, maybe a smoothie or a non-dairy beverage or some water, something like that. They have recipes on their site. Long story short, that's all you do. And you're going to get your body's required, what it needs nutritionally of these superfoods, the superfruit and vegetable and Field of Greens. And you're going to love it. If for any reason you don't, which you're not, but if you don't love it, they have a 100% money-back guarantee. So to start, Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at fieldofgreens.com for better health.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A piece of a 5,800-pound battery pallet tossed from NASA's ISS, the International Space Station, crashed through a Florida home and nearly killed the homeowner's son. NASA's investigating it to determine the origin, but it's reportedly owned by NASA, but it was destroyed. It was deployed by Japan. So, I mean, almost killed a person. Oh, my gosh. And they, they think it's from a 5,800-pound battery pallet. The object itself, because I think the headline is misleading, was a 2-pound cylindrical object that they recovered, and they're trying to figure out if it's space junk or if NASA's responsible for it. I mean, there's like video of it hitting this house. It's just wild. I mean, good heavens. And it went through the roof, went through the floor, into the basement, like busted right through his floor. He's got to replace his wood floor, everything. It's just wild. It just like fell right through the roof, but thankfully nobody was hurt, but good heavens, that's like the last thing that you expect. So, you know, something from outer space comes flying through your house and good grief. Let's see. Also, if I can get this up because okay, another day, another, Safari doesn't want to work. A Florida man sued Disney after a ferry boat crashed into a dock and sent him into a trash can. Golly. Was Frank from Always Sunny driving this thing? Yeah. Florida man sued Disney after a ferry boat crashed into a dock, sent him into the trash can, according to the lawsuit. They said that it was filed in Orange County. Justin Tripp filed suit Monday regarding the incident that happened on board a ferry boat. They said he was being instructed onto the boat by crew members who said that he'd have to stand for the ride because it was so crowded. And he was standing in the back part of the boat. And as it approached the dock, he says it didn't slow down at all. It was going at a pretty high rate of speed. Passengers were being thrown about and it hit it. And he was thrown into a steel pillar where he hit his head and neck and then fell into a trash can. And he said that none of the crew members warned anybody about potential collision with the dock. And he also said the theme park breached its duty to use reasonable care. He got several injuries, he said. So I don't know.
Is it me or is there a lot of boating vessels running into things
lately? Yeah, yeah, there is. And they're not women drivers, oddly enough. They're dude. I think some of these dudes are the women, like the boating people. Yeah. They're, I don't know.
The water makes them women drivers?
Yeah, the water kind of does something to you. I don't know. It just, because we have too many of these headlines. It's kind of wild. Let's see here. We also have Florida man put a car in cruise control and then decided that he was going to speed down the highway while standing up through the sunroof. Don't do that. No. Let's just not say he did. No. Can you imagine? I just think of that. One of my favorite movies. It's the best chick flick that's out there. It's called Death Proof. It's a Quentin Tarantino. It was part of the twofer, Planet Terror, and then Death Proof. Death Proof is great. And it always, like, if never put your feet up on the dashboard in the passenger side if you're on a road trip, and that movie will tell you why in a horrific fashion. And I just was thinking about this when I was reading the story. So this guy stood up through the sunroof. He was charged with reckless driving. And then, of course, he also had all types of prescription medication that wasn't his. And he got in trouble. You can't do that. It's dangerous and you're gonna kill somebody, and just don't be doing that. Don't do it. Let's see this. Oh no, I am not reading this. No.
Not even a little?
A Florida woman spits on a bus driver and then claimed to be protecting her. You know that Alan Jackson song? The Hoochie Coochie? Okay, literally, I'm going to save this for tomorrow because it's going to take me a while to ease into this one. It's guys, it's bad. It's that bad. You can thank Amber, Florida woman Amber, for that. Yeah, she's on call. I'm calling her out. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
Do you guys think that some big cities in this country have liberal DAs that are too soft on crime?
Look, what I will say is I'm not going to speak to every state or city here. It's not for me to speak to. We have been very clear about this. Anyone who commits a crime and is found guilty needs to be held accountable. That's what this president believes.
Apparently not. That's not what they're doing. Her brain just broke. Somebody check on her. That's Karine Jean-Pierre. This is obvious. This is all obvious. See, I just want to I'd rather sit here and choke to death than sit here and tell you about obvious stuff. Da, da, da. Guess what? They don't think that you need to do anything with crime. Da, da, da. Welcome back to the show. It's true. Dana Loesch here with you. Audio sucks today. Dana Loesch here with you. Top of this third hour. Can listen all around the country on the internet. It's the easy. Can find us on channel 347 DirecTV, where you can watch the simulcast of the radio program. And that's obvious. I love people put out tweets. Can I just say something? This is sometimes what I hate about conservative media. Oh my gosh, this is a totally obvious soundbite. We know she's going to say this. She says it. Oh, and we knew this. We knew it. And this is not shocking. I mean, it's not shocking at all. I mean, we know that she was, this is what they feel. This is where they are on this. A couple of other things. Where's my audio list? I had to restart everything. I wanted to play for you. This is more of the bloodbath stuff. Audio 787. John Kirby, listen to this.
John, there's another case of somebody who was in this country illegally, allegedly murdering a young woman, this time in Michigan. Her name was Ruby Garcia. Donald Trump is out there now calling this Biden's border bloodbath. What do you call it?
Well, first of all, while I'm not aware of the specifics of this case, I mean, that's just terrible news. And our thoughts and prayers obviously go to the family of Ms. Garcia. I mean, that's the kind of news no family ever wants to get, ever. And we would certainly defer to local law enforcement and investigative bodies to do the spade work that needs to be done to figure out exactly what happened to Ruby, and to hold the perperpetrators accountable for that. So why don't we let the judicial process play out here before we start making grandiose bumper sticker comments about what this says about the border?
What do you mean grandiose bumper sticker? I mean, how is that not? I mean, it is a bloodbath, though. I mean, that's, I mean, this isn't, I don't know why that's offensive to describe it as such. I mean, KJP goes even further. She says that saying bloodbath is the equivalent of violent rhetoric that endangers everybody. Listen. Audio somebody.
I mean, going back to the bloodbath question, the former president used that terminology a week or two ago, but he's talking about it again today. What's the White House reaction to the use of that term, bloodbath?
I'm going to be really mindful here because it is the president, the former president is also a candidate here, so want to follow the law with the Hatch Act. But we have to denounce. Our response is we have to denounce any violent rhetoric that we hear, certainly from our leaders, right, that tears our country apart. It could tear up our country apart and puts our fellow Americans in harm's way, in danger. So we have to denounce that. And look, you know, I think and we think that the American people wants to see the country coming together. That's what they want. They want to make sure that we respect our democracy.
Well, isn't respecting a democracy also about respecting the sovereign boundaries that define where our country is, that our republic exists within, with our democratic processes? I mean, that just seems kind of obvious. No, I don't understand how that's violent rhetoric. I mean, and of course, you know, we came in with the audio of Ducey saying, well, was it violent rhetoric when Biden said it back in 2020? That's the line where she couldn't figure out how to talk her way. She couldn't figure out how to get out of that. It's just, you know, it's just as well. I mean, it was different because he was talking about a group of people. And this, I mean, that seems to be important. So Biden's struggling with a number of different demos. He's struggling with minority voters. He's struggling particularly in Muslim stronghold areas in Michigan. And he's also struggling with greenies. And then he's struggling with independents. as well. And Cissé Poidwé, Dr. Bogota, right? Is what she said? Jill Biden, she got a little shrill when it was suggested to her that Biden is losing in battleground states. Audio soundbite 17.
But when these polls, like the Wall Street Journal one, land in the White House and he's losing in all the battleground states.
No, he's not losing in all the battleground states. He's coming up and he's even or doing better. So you know what? Once people start to focus in and they see their two choices, it's obvious that Joe will win this election.
All right.
Is it though? You guys are going to have to dip into that war chest, I think, and start doing some ad buys and convincing people otherwise. He's even or he's just ahead. I love her scientific description there. So I don't think it actually looks well for either of the candidates. I think that the candidates both need to do an overhaul of their messaging. I don't see that happening with Biden, but I think Trump has started it. If Trump sticks to policy and stays out of the relitigating the petty primary stuff, and if he doesn't just talk about his legal stuff all the time, and he focuses on the issues that he was really good at focusing on in the beginning of 2016, that election, I think that's going to go really well for him, and that's what attracts people. That's what built the coalition in the first place. That's what's going to build it this time around. That's what he needs to really focus on. I think that the pack that came out with the Biden supermarket website where you could go in and compare prices from, you know, 4 years ago to now and look at the difference, look at the increase, I think is incredibly helpful because it gives people something concrete to look at. Talking about these border issues gives, you know, and talking and your solutions to them. You can't just be complaining about them. You have to talk about your solutions to said border issues because people are going to want. They need an alternative. They need something. They need to see what other political product they can get besides what they have currently in the White House. That's what they have to. That's what he has to focus on. And I think if he drives that point home and continues to laser focus on those issues, that will go really well for him because that's when he campaigns his best. When it gets into the petty primary stuff, you're going to drive voters away and you're going to split the right. And when you only talk about your legal stuff, you're going to fatigue your base. You're going to fatigue the voters that you need to not only support you, but help get out the vote and increase that coalition, the numbers in that coalition. So he's got to really focus on those two things. Now, a couple of other things on this. Speaking of immigration. So in Florida, and by the way, Florida got a couple of legal victories, as I noted in my newsletter, if you get the Substack newsletter, Chapter and Verse, I noted this in prep this morning. There was another huge win. So DeSantis has a big legal win in this lawsuit over the Martha's Vineyard flights. Even though Joe Biden flew illegal immigrants over, it's only bad if a Republican governor does it, not if the Democrat president does it. So District Judge Allison Burroughs ruled that illegal immigrants could sue the charter flight company Vertol Systems that contracted with Florida to transport illegal immigrants back in September of 22. She dismissed the other claims, said the court that lacked jurisdiction over those. But what about, I mean, if Biden can do it, then DeSantis can do it. And to think that they actually have, she goes, she wrote that no reasonable person, she's talking about the illegal immigrants, she says that no reasonable person should have to endure the anxiety that comes with being unwillingly inserted into a divisive national debate. They weren't unwillingly inserted. They willingly inserted themselves when they willingly and voluntarily crossed the border illegally and when they very willingly entered into the country illegally and very willingly stayed in the country illegally and very willingly boarded a plane to go further into the interior illegally. They actually made it divisive. They contributed to that and they were here quite willingly. So no, they chose to do that. No one else, by way of enforcing the law, made anything divisive for them. The divisive factor is the law breaking in the scenario, not the law enforcement. Big difference. They said, according to the governor's office, flights were conducted lawfully, authorized by Florida legislature, which they were. So what happens when Biden does it? Because he has done it. We've talked about it on the show. He did it, you know, for quite a while before DeSantis and Abbott even did it. So why no lawsuit there? NBC News was raked over the coals. They had this hit piece on Florida that fell flat. Red State had a very had captured some of what NBC was reporting on. They were trying to argue that Florida is somehow bad. Like Florida is such a success story for Republican policies that the media has to counter it with smear pieces because people are looking at Florida and going, well, we want more Republican policies like nationwide. And so they were trying to say that Florida's net migration. They were trying to act like, their population boom, et cetera, that people were somehow mad because it was sunny there a lot and it's hard to get the house you want. That's literally what they were complaining about in this NBC piece. That people were having movers remorse, but the state apparently has like an almost zero rate of out migration. So that doesn't really support, I mean, the numbers of people leaving the state of Florida does not support this smear piece that NBC was putting out about this. That was, I mean, that's, and actually they were trying to say it was, you know, so sunny, like that's a bad thing. Where are you people coming from? That doesn't make any sense. That's so crazy. NBC found like a tiny handful, not even a full dozen people that were leaving Florida. This is a state that has 22 million people. And it's one of the top states for domestic migration. So you're going to, you're probably going to have like a half a dozen, if not more, people who end up leaving the state. But that's to be expected with a state of 22 million people. But to act like it's because of its Republican policies and it's super sunny there all the time. That's the problem. It's just so stupid. It's just dumb.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so Southern California's shark warning system is in jeopardy because the state's broke. A high-tech system that alerts swimmers when sharks are lurking nearby in the coastal waters could be shuttered as funds have begun to run dry. So they would really like to tell you about the sharks, but they're out of money. So look out. Maybe they could, I mean, can they find somebody to just like yell, hey, shark. They said that the system has been operated by the Shark Lab at Cal State since 2018. They use buoys, tags, monitors. It tracks the population of white sharks. Sends alerts to lifeguards when sharks come within 300 yards of the buoys. But they're like, we're running out of money to actually continue to fund this. They were supposed to fund the system for 5 years with $3.7 million. And they managed to stretch it to 6 years, but they're like out. They said they need $7.5 million more to keep the system afloat. They hope private donors will do it. Or everybody just, a lot of shark snacks gonna be out in the water. There's no other way to put it. Let's see here. An Alabama man hid 176 fentanyl pills in Easter eggs. Okay, guys. I literally grew up with the whole parents have to check your candy for Halloween because people put drugs and needles in them. And now this guy ruins it all after we were like, that's stupid. Why are you telling 176 fentanyl pills in Easter eggs, according to the sheriff? Yeah, they were the little bright plastic eggs. And he was arrested. They discovered them in the Easter eggs in this guy's car. He was arrested on charges of drug trafficking. His name is Jamarius Qualls. Drug trafficking and possession with intent to distribute. Another Boeing flightmare. Alaska Airlines plane from Hawaii to Alaska, one place you do not want to have anything go wrong. They're forced to turn around because the cabin flooded. And flight attendants were desperately using paper towels to try to mop it up. It occurred 90 minutes into the flight. They had to return for repairs. And it was a malfunctioning sink. Gosh, what is happening with Boeing? Oh my gosh, what in the world? Let's see here. An AirTag in a Bible helped a pregnant carjacking victim find her car. That's nice. Oh no, this is horrible though. Okay, I could do a whole hour on airplane bathrooms. A pilot was forced to return to the airport after wee from the broken toilet flowed into the cabin.
They wish it was only wee.
Yeah, you know, it was a United Airlines flight, and it was a couple hours into its journey to San Francisco from Germany, and the pilot had to turn back because contents from the toilet's waste tank were pushed up into the lavatory, and it apparently was heinous, and it filled the cabin, and it was bad. And they could not figure out the immediate cause. They said it was a maintenance issue. Oh my gosh, I have so many. Airplane bathrooms are the worst. I feel like people turn into animals and they forget how to how to use the bathroom as a human in airplane bathrooms. I don't know what it is, but people go in there and it's like a velociraptor went in there and used the bathroom. I have no idea why it's like that. Why do they lose all reasoning? You guys know I'm right about this too. Oh, can you imagine? Why did your plane turn back 2 hours into your flight? Because the John overflowed. Oh my gosh. It makes me sick. And last but not least, I told you about the planters thing already. Okay. The Adderall prescriptions have been filled less often amid the ongoing shortage in the U.S. Is that a good thing? Or a bad thing? Good thing? No, stick with us. More in store.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
However, over the past few years, we've seen a massive spike in temporary immigration, whether it's temporary foreign workers or whether it's international students in particular, that have grown at a rate far beyond what Canada has been able to absorb.
Who are the people beating the drum by where he
Trudeau
is?
Trudeau haters.
Do they don't like Trudeau?
Oh, they do not like Trudeau.
I really liked their percussion. Normally I hate percussion, but I felt like it kept better time than when the left does it, because when the left does it, it's like, God help them. They just can't. They don't know how to keep a beat in a cup. They don't. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. So Justin Trudeau, the AKA Lil Castro, you know, it's right. He was saying that immigration to Canada has just grown at a faster rate, far beyond what they've been able to absorb. Why does he hate immigrants? Why, Lil Castro? Why do you hate immigrants so bad? I mean, that's just what I'm getting. You know, absorb them. Come on. Why do you hate immigrants? I just love the drum. I just want to go back to that for a minute. They kept beat, though. How many times have you seen a progressive protest when they are trying to, like, play somebody off or drown them out with a drum beat? And they literally, we've made fun of this on the air before. It's like they cannot keep time. And it's difficult because it's just is so frustrating to listen to. But that guy kept time, whoever that is. That dude, I mean, he could, like, you know, he actually was on beat. He was on time. He kept it.
In temporary immigration, whether
it's cowbell from
foreign workers whether it's international.
I love these guys. This is hysterical. What is up with Justin Trudeau's hair, too? If you're watching the simulcast, what is he trying? First off, he's darkened it. Secondly, why is he doing this with his hair? Why is he wearing it forward like this? Why? It looks horrible. And he's got a duck tail in the back. Why?
It's like he needs a haircut and the wind did the rest.
That looks heinous. You know, remember in the 90s when there was like this one haircut? And it was one of the boy bands that did it. And they brushed their hair all forward.
Oh, yeah.
And they gelled it in the front and they kind of had like little bangs and they slicked it to their head. It was basically, I don't know how to describe
like
this.
Marcus Aurelius?
No, that's an insult. No, so insulting.
Oh,
no.
That's exactly what the hair looked like.
No, it didn't.
Oh, it did.
It's like how Eminem did when he bleached his hair. It's like white trash looking. If I'm being honest, it just looked bad. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like a style that goes great with a dirty wife beater. The shirt, right? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like he's going for. That is just the worst hair ever. Gosh, he looks like Castro. Anyway, he totally does. I mean, they're just spit an image, man. Spit an image. So he's, Justin Trudeau says, you know, it's grown beyond what we can handle. Why can Canada say that? Why do they get to say that? But if you're Greg Abbott and you're like, wow, we've had 11 million people come in here. We can't handle it. Everyone's like, you racist. R-A-Y-S-I-S. So they get mad at DeSantis. Wow, we can't have all these caprillion people come in here. Justin Trudeau can say that they can't handle it. Hell, Martha's Vineyard can call the National Guard and have them escorted out the next day. That's okay. But you can't be a Republican and note this. Audio soundbite 22. DeSantis was ripping Joe Biden's illegal immigrant flights because, you know, you also had a court that validated DeSantis doing this. But there were people, now they're saying, oh, well, these illegal immigrants can sue over this. Well, Biden was doing this even before DeSantis. Listen, audio soundbite 22.
Tell you, we're not a sanctuary state. We don't have sanctuary cities. And we've took action to where you're not getting a driver's license. You're not getting ID cards. So you are better off in New York or Illinois or California. So that may be what you're saying. But it's secret in the sense, yes, we know the program's going on. We're suing over it. We think it's illegal. We know it's illegal and not constitutional, but they are not coordinating with state government at all. If they throw six people on a commercial flight coming from a foreign country, there's no acknowledgement at all to state or local authorities. That's just the fact. And so that's a double reason about why what he's doing is very problematic.
Very problematic indeed. Very problematic. And they're not being honest about it. I mean, if you're mad about it when, you know, a Republican does it, then where were all these people who were screaming into the wind about it when you had Biden doing it? Now, speaking of Biden, we talked about how he's thinking of redesignating the Houthis as terrorists, right? And then he's really going to have a discussion with his party as to what they're going to do with regards to Gaza. Because this headline where, and I wrote about this over at the newsletter, but the story about these aid workers who were killed during this precision strike, and, you know, because Gaza, surprise, it's a war zone. Hamas has made it a war zone for 20 years now. And they were six foreign aid workers and one Gazan driver. And the reason that you're hearing more about the aid workers than you are about the hostages taken, including the American hostages, is because the aid workers weren't Israelis. That's why. And Democrats have been pushing. I have a million headlines here. They're really using this as a way to push Biden into further disengaging from Israel, right? And Wisconsin, they're trying to do an uncommitted vote based on this. They did it in Michigan as well. And he's trying to keep the far left happy, but then not alienate the portion of Democrats that recognize that Israel's our only ally over there. And it is, you keep hearing, like I pull this up. All of the headlines with this is, it's insane to me to see the number of media outlets who are like, oh, outraged, or just, you know, they're losing. They barely reported on Hamas bombing an Israeli hospital and killing innocents literally like 2 months ago. It was like 2 or 3 months ago when that happened. The media could barely mention it. There were only a couple of outlets that actually mentioned it. And then remember when Hamas bombed their own hospital, because of a faulty launch of one of their stupid rockets. And then they tried to blame Israel for that and the world ran with it. And everyone was getting on Israel for Hamas blowing up one of Hamas's own hospitals. But they didn't mention the fact that Hamas literally, and then they took credit for it, blew up a hospital in Israel. Mm-hmm. This is this is only going to grow outrage, this whole idea of outrage towards Israel. All of this, they're going to really try to get this really ramped up, and they want to use this as the final thing to pull Biden away, pull the rest of the Democrat Party away from that allyship, that partnership. And that's going to be, it makes it a lot harder for Israel. I think Israel did a checkmate operation with Iran when they had that consulate strike in Syria, because Iran can't strike back. The proxy groups are questioning, why is Iran using us and they're not doing anything? Iran can't strike back because that would open them up to a direct strike from Israel, who would absolutely and justifiably target their nuclear program facilities. So that's a kind of a catch-22 for them. But with regards to, just to touch on this really quickly, with regards to Hamas, I'm just amazed at all the headlines that I see over this. Like, they're acting as though Israel was deliberately targeting these aid workers, which they weren't. It's a war zone. by way of Hamas's choosing. It's a war zone. They literally built their headquarters under the biggest hospital in Gaza, in Gaza City, Al-Shifa. They had the UN headquarters. They had another substation that Hamas built underneath the UN headquarters there in Gaza. I mean, yes, you have innocents in Gaza, but you also have people who voted overwhelmingly to have a terrorist group represent them, and they were going to do it again in 2021 until they had suspended elections because they were worried that Hamas, and it was going to happen, they were going to even overtake the ruling entity in West Bank, which was Fatah, their rival party. And the head of Fatah runs a Palestinian Authority, which is like the recognized ruling entity of these two territories. The other thing, too, is that people did not blindly back this terror group in the elections. Everyday Gazans, UN workers, and members of the press aided Hamas in its terror attack in Israel. There's a lot of this that shows this. Washington Free Beacon had one such piece where they noted children as young as 10 took part in the terror attack. They had everyday citizens that were helping the terrorists load people up, all of this. One of the guys who was defending his home from terrorists, he said there were young kids that were running around with the terrorists and stealing and enjoying themselves. There were other actual, you know, people in Gaza that came through the fence and were helping them. There was the survivors. If you listen to the interviews of the survivors, one of the hostage survivors, and there was one New York Times piece, there's a Guardian piece. One survivor said, quote, "One family that kept me captive would let their kids come look at me and point at my wounds. I felt like I was their trophy and no one in Gaza cared about me." Mia Shem, according to the New York Times, was kept with a Gazan family. And she had said, quote, "Suddenly I realized that I'm with a family. Why am I in some family's home? Why are the kids here? Why is the wife here?" I mean, that's the thing. Nobody wants to discuss it. There's a reason why they're still so incredibly popular, and why no one voted for them blindly. They still don't support them blindly. I mean, good grief. There are two polls, one that was taken a month ago, one that was taken in December of 23. Both of these took place after October 7th, and Hamas's popularity has only grown since then. And they were done by Gazan entities. Their popularity has only grown since then. I mean, there's something to be said for that. We talked about the members of the press aiding them. We talked about the United Nations workers aiding them. So this idea, the people who find all of this so offensive, they should ask themselves why they were not screeching into the wind just as loudly these past 20 years when Hamas was building up all this stuff as they are now. They should ask themselves this. It's important to know. Now, a few other things before we roll towards the conclusion of this third hour. Here's another story that I want you to pay attention to. And we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. Two headlines. One is from Politico. The other is from Financial Times. You got this in your prep. First headline. Trump-proofing weapons for Ukraine. Allies consider moving arms group into NATO. Quote, the U.S. and other Western countries are considering transferring to NATO, a U.S.-led multinational group that coordinates the shipment of weapons to Ukraine, one of several new proposals to help maintain the flow of arms under a second Trump presidency. The Financial Times headline, NATO plans a $100 billion Trump-proof fund for Ukraine. It's a proposed five-year military aid package that would shield Ukraine from, quote, winds of political change. I noted in your prep email, there are two things that came to mind when I was reading these headlines. The first one was, anything regarding conflict like this falls under the responsibility of the president of the United States, correct? And not just the president of the United States, but also the people who vote to elect him. Does this not sound like thwarting the will of the voter and sidestepping the power of the executive to fund a forever war? Does this not sound like the military-industrial complex just hijacking this? Because the military, I agree with Ike. The military industrial complex was a real thing. It is a real thing. Doesn't it sound like they're hijacking this for that purpose? Does to me.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Before we talk about the subway crime, let's talk about these, you know, accusations and allegations that women have been punched across the city, several places across the city, claim it on TikTok, and now there have been, what, two arrests?
Yes, yes, despicable. You know, they better hope that I'm not out on the street when I see that takes place. It's unbelievable that you see the corrosiveness of TikTok. Not only thing for teaching people how to steal cars, how to ride on top of subway stations, trains, but just this pervasive negative antisocial behavior.
And I mean, I don't like TikTok, but you realize that you got people who are like, we came into the country illegally and we're going to sit here and tell you how to exploit the fact that in all of these blue states, you can squat somebody's house after you've been there for 10 days. And they should, just because they share it on TikTok, you're acting as though TikTok is causing this. Or, you know, the fact that people have been attacking women on the streets of New York and like the crime is higher there and the restorative justice really kind of kicked off in New York and California. That's not because of TikTok. That's because of left-leaning, rotten restorative justice policies. How are you going to go out there and sit here and go, oh, this medium that people use to further spread this, you know, societal malware, for the lack of a better way to put it, that's not the cause of it. I mean, TikTok is its own bad issue, but this is all because of Democrats. And for the love, like, people go and punch people in the face because in broad daylight in New York City because they feel empowered to do so, because not a thing happens to them. Because, it's not serious enough to be like a serious felony. We're going to go ahead and let you walk. We're going to go ahead and let you, you know, just based on your own recognizance, you can go. I mean, what do you think is going to happen when you start advertising that there is no penalty for, like, you know, basic crime? A lot more basic crime is going to happen. And then you're going to have a lot more serious crime that happens as a result of that. I mean, this isn't rocket science. This is just basic cause and effect. Jesus, people. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. It'll have to be KJP. She's been out there for the past few days pretty consistently. So the stupid was flowing. We're talking about the H5N1 bird flu outbreak. Anybody feel like this sounds familiar or brings back any memories?
I've heard this before.
Anything like
I
that?
Saw this movie once.
Mm-hmm. So look, this is something that we are certainly monitoring. We have been, CDC has been certainly working on top, working and focusing on this. You know, we take health and safety of the American people seriously.
Yeah,
it is very important to this president. Our top priority is to keep communities healthy, safe.
Okay. Well, I don't believe anything she says. Yeah. And emergency powers, government loves it.
Yeah, they do. Folks, that does it for us today. Have a great rest of your day. I will be back with you tomorrow.